Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Playful, How Play Shifts. Our Thinking Inspires Connection. And Spurge Creativity is a nonfiction book by designer, educator, and play expert Cass Holman, written with science journalist Lydia Denworth. It sits at the intersection of psychology, creativity studies, design thinking, education, and adult well-being. The book argues that play is not a childish diversion, but a durable human capacity that supports learning, experimentation, emotional regulation, and social connection. Holman is known for designing open-ended toys and play environments, including work that emphasizes exploration over fixed outcomes. And the book extends that design philosophy into adult life. Its central purpose is to show why many adults become separated from play through productivity norms, fear of judgment, and performance pressure, and how they can recover a more playful way of thinking. Rather than treating play as leisure alone, Playful presents it as a practical lens for creativity, collaboration, resilience, and everyday engagement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, free play is defined by self-direction rather than visible productivity. A central idea in Playful is the distinction between free play and activities that merely look recreational. Holman emphasizes open-ended, self-directed action undertaken for its own sake, without a fixed reward, score, or measurable deliverable. This matters because many adult forms of recreation still reproduce performance logic. Sports are organized around winning, hobbies become side businesses, and even relaxation is often justified by later productivity. Free play resists that structure. It creates a setting in which attention can follow curiosity rather than efficiency. The value of this distinction is practical as well as philosophical. When an activity has no single correct outcome, participants can test ideas, change direction, and notice unexpected possibilities without treating deviation as failure. Holman links this state to creativity because novelty often emerges when a person is not trying to optimize too quickly. The book, therefore, frames free play not as aimlessness, but as a different mode of engagement. Its usefulness comes from loosening the demand that every action prove itself immediately. Secondly, adult play resistance grows from social rules, judgment, and outcome pressure. Holman argues that adults do not lose the capacity to play so much as learn to distrust it. As people age, they become more aware of social contracts governing what counts as serious, appropriate, or useful behavior. That awareness can make spontaneous exploration feel risky, even when no real danger is present. The book describes this resistance as a conflict between a playful impulse and an internalized adult voice that warns against looking foolish, wasting time, or breaking informal rules. This analysis is important because it avoids blaming individuals for being unimaginative. Instead, it locates adult inhibition in cultural training. School, work, public behavior, and productivity ideals all teach people to monitor themselves. The result is not only less fun, but narrower thinking. If a person is constantly asking whether an action is acceptable or efficient, fewer unusual connections become available. Playful suggests that reclaiming play requires noticing these constraints before trying to overcome them. The barrier is often not lack of time, but fear of permission. Thirdly, the playful mindset combines possibility, reduced judgment, and reframed success. The book presents playfulness as a repeatable orientation, rather than a personality trait reserved for unusually spontaneous people. Holman identifies habits such as embracing possibility, releasing judgment, and reframing success as central to that orientation. Embracing possibility means approaching a situation as open rather than predetermined. A mundane task, conversation, or problem can become playful if the person allows variation and experiment. Releasing judgment matters because evaluation too early in a process can shut down exploration before it produces anything meaningful. Reframing success then shifts the question from whether the result is impressive to whether the experience produced learning, engagement, connection, or discovery. This framework makes the book more practical than a general defense of fun. It gives readers a way to diagnose why play disappears from adult life and how to reintroduce it without requiring dramatic lifestyle changes. The mindset can apply to creative work, parenting, teaching, problem solving, and ordinary routines. Its core claim is that play begins when uncertainty becomes usable rather than threatening. Fourthly, open-ended design shows how environments can invite experimentation. Holman brings a distinctive perspective to the subject because she is not only writing about play but designing for it. Her work with open-ended toys and play spaces informs the book's argument that materials and environments can either prescribe behavior or invite invention. A toy with a single intended use tends to narrow the field of action, while loose parts, modular structures, ambiguous forms, and adaptable spaces encourage users to decide what the activity becomes. This design principle is significant beyond childhood. Adults also respond to cues in their surroundings. A workplace, classroom, museum, or public space that discourages touching, moving, improvising, or collaboration signals that play is inappropriate. By contrast, environments that tolerate ambiguity in bodily engagement can make experimentation feel legitimate. Holman uses design as evidence that play is not merely an internal attitude. It is also shaped by tools, permissions, spatial arrangements, and institutional expectations. This makes the book relevant to educators, designers, and leaders who want creativity, but often create settings that reward compliance instead. Lastly, play strengthens connection by creating low-risk spaces for interaction. Playful treats play as social infrastructure, not only as an individual creativity practice. In play, people can try roles, negotiate rules, express emotion, and repair misunderstandings with lower stakes than in formal settings. This is why playful interaction can support connection across age, hierarchy, and background. When participants are absorbed in a shared activity, rather than focused on status or evaluation, they may communicate more flexibly and notice one another differently. Holman connects this to collaboration because groups often need psychological safety before they can generate unusual ideas or admit uncertainty. Play can create that safety by making experimentation normal. The book is careful to distinguish this from forced fun or corporate gimmickry. Play works socially when it preserves autonomy and genuine engagement, not when it becomes another mandatory performance. Its broader implication is that communities and organizations cannot simply instruct people to be creative or connected. They need shared conditions in which exploration, humor, risk, and mutual responsiveness are allowed. In conclusion, Playful is best suited for readers who sense that their lives have become overly governed by efficiency, seriousness, or fear of failure. Parents, educators, designers, managers, therapists, artists, and people interested in creativity and well-being will find the book especially relevant because it connects personal experience with practical implications for homes, schools, workplaces, and public spaces. Its benefits are both intellectual and usable. Intellectually, it challenges the common assumption that play belongs mainly to childhood or leisure. Practically, it helps readers recognize where judgment, productivity pressure, and rigid environments limit curiosity and connection. What makes the book stand out in the creativity and self-development category is Holman's design-based authority. Many books argue for curiosity or innovation in broad terms, but Playful grounds those arguments in the structure of open-ended play materials without fixed outcomes, environments that invite experimentation, and social settings that reduce fear of failure. It is not primarily a productivity manual, nor is it a nostalgic celebration of childhood. Its distinctive contribution is to treat play as a serious human capacity, whose value lies precisely in not being controlled by conventional measures of usefulness. If you would like to support Cass Holman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.